Well, it's always good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Praise God. The Bible says, I rejoiced when they said to me, what did they say? Let us go up to the house of the Lord. And remember, of course, that the house of the Lord is not the building, it's the people gathered out of love for Jesus. We come together because we love him. Now, we've given you this morning our Bible bookmark for the year, and it has on it two scriptures, one on the back and one on the front, or one on the front or one on the back. And the one there, ask, seek, knock, is in reference to what Faylene shared with us a couple of weeks ago. We had a door somewhere, it's disappeared. I wanted to keep the door here. But anyway, hello? Is it? Okay, we'll bring it out as we preach on it, maybe next Sunday or whatever. And on the back is this extraordinary scripture that says, that you may know the love that surpasses knowledge. What an extraordinary scripture. It comes from Ephesians 3:19, which, you know, is just the most wonderful scripture. And we'll also tease a bit of that out over the next few weeks. Ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock, the door will be open. And the context of that in Luke's gospel, by the way, is the giving and the receiving of the Holy Spirit. And even the one that where it says that you may know the love that surpasses knowledge, also in the context of the Holy Spirit. Many of you have experienced and know the love of Christ. And that is a wonderful thing. And then there's this other scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:14 that says, the love of Christ compels me. Everybody say, the love of Christ compels me. And at the start of this year, that's exactly what should happen. The love of Christ should compel us, push us towards his purpose for our lives. Well, we were talking early in January about being back to the core in 21:4. Scotty, I tried to remember what yours was. Was it again quickly? Last Sunday you sneaked it in.
One for all.
One for all? In 21, not something like that, yeah. But we talked about the core values and beliefs of a believer. And we talked about the old Westminster Catechism. I went and looked it up this week, and it's pages and pages and pages of extraordinary material about beliefs and values for believers. Actually, you know, it's all based, of course, on Scripture, but we said that our chief end is to love, know, and worship God and enjoy him forever. And the main core of our lifestyle is to worship God, to love, know, and worship him, to be in communion with him, to be in fellowship with him. So that scripture on the back says, notice that it's got two of those words in it, that you may know the love that surpasses knowledge. And if I can just preempt my synopsis for a few things I want to say today, the love, you're watching here, that surpasses knowledge. Here, you got that. The moment that you understand the love in your heart, then the love of Christ will compel you. If it's only up here, see, that's what Paul meant by that. He said, you will know the love that surpasses knowledge. Even in his day, there were Greeks and people around the place, and they were getting all, you know, eloquent. He said it in Corinthians and other places. He talked about the wise and the foolish, and it's hidden, and so on and so forth. And it's because this love surpasses knowledge. And we'll be talking about that over the next few weeks. And, of course, we're leading up to having Matt Dolan, which is Susie and Scott's brother-in-law. And he'll be with us in a couple of weeks' end's time. And last time he was here, so many of you came and said, oh, that was just awesome. And he's the worship pastor, or he still is, I suppose, the worship pastor at Grace, one of our churches in Port Macquarie. And then the week following, the retired senior pastor of that church will be with us, Kerry Medway, who is Brian Medway's cousin, by the way, not his brother. So we're going to have a bit of a feast. But I want to return to where Joan and I, Pastor Joan and myself and Pastor Scott, have been over the last little while in Romans chapter 12, and we're going to put it up in a minute as we go through. and I won't be looking there. But let me go back to these words. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And we've talked about that. Now, the word used for worship there, as Pastor Scott pointed out last week, is latero, which means actually to render religious service or homage. In other words, it involves action. And that's why the King James Version, both of them, the old one and the new one, has "this is your reasonable service." Some of you might remember back to the old King James days when it says, "this is your reasonable act of service," you see. So latero is the word that has to do with service, but it's also to do with worship, because it's homage and worship and praise and adoration. It's different from the one of the other words, and by the way, there's a few more I discovered in Vines when I was looking through that have to do with worship in the New Testament. Proskuneo. Pros is towards, and kuneo is to kiss. It's like kissing the hand or reaching toward God, and proskuneo has more to do with what we enjoyed this morning, the actual act of coming into his presence and worshipping him. But latero is a worship of serving wherever you are and whatever you're doing, which Pastor Scott was talking about last week. Whatever service you are in, when it involves serving the Lord, that is worship, according to this particular scripture. And the key in it is serving. See, serving. And you won't understand the principle of serving or latero unless you have the heart, the right heart, see, that you may know this love that surpasses knowledge. And the problem in lots of churches and for lots of Christians is that it's up here. Who agrees with me? But it's not here. And latero is here. The love that surpasses knowledge, the love that will lead us into serving him, because the love of Christ compels us. And then he says, don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hello, we're back to here. But in a moment, you'll see there's a slight difference. The pattern of this world, my goodness gracious me. Have you noticed the pattern of this world lately? It is such a different Australia from when I grew up. In 1961, for example, was the highest attendance in church in Australian history. Almost 50% of Australians had attended church in the last month in 1961. We're now down to somewhere around 14, 15% or something. Having said that, however, over 70 to 80% of Australians believe in God, and many believe that Jesus is who he said he was. They just don't go to church because they do not understand these scriptures I'm talking about here now, right now, especially this one in Romans chapter 12. And so the context again, Paul is talking about worship and serving, latero, serving him. That's what he's talking about. And how you are to serve him, not the world's way, but God's way, by keeping our eyes fixed on him. The message has this: don't become, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. My goodness, that's what's happened to Christians, isn't it? My goodness, it's happening to Christians. Instead, fix your attention on God. Again, because if we get the love here instead of here, the love of Christ compels us that we will know the love that surpasses knowledge. You know, I might get digressed here a bit, and you're going to have to stay a bit longer, but I have to do this because the love of Christ compels me. A few weeks back, the federal government said they were going to give a $200 voucher to couples getting married. I'll bet a lot of people, Christians, thought, yabba dabba doo, you beauty, hallelujah. And yet out there, you cannot believe the amount of vitriol and venom was poured out on that idea, because people just don't get it. Then on Friday, I'm driving home after the doctor cut a thing out of my arm, and on the ABC, I hear this guy talking about marriage, And he's from an institute that has seriously researches marriage. It was absolutely fantastic about marriage and how it's within marriage that children do best. Hello, good night. Praise the Lord. We all knew that, didn't we? Yes, and the statistical, this independent, so-called independent organisation, didn't actually hear who they were, but I want to find out. All the stats are proving it. For example, how many of you believe that there would be any evidence to suggest that children who grow up in a single parent family or a same couple family do better than those who grow up in a traditional family? There's no such evidence, none whatever. On the contrary, it's all the other way around. I'm getting launched here. Forgive me. And that is because, you know what, people do not understand this principle we got from Selwyn Hughes, Paul and Kathy, years ago. A, B and C. Get this into your spirit, learn this, understand it, and when you're out there talking to people, explain it to them. A is activating event and circumstances. B is beliefs, values and attitudes. And C is the consequences. So when we're talking about alcohol-related violence, and you know that's the A, that's the activating events, right? And all that stuff that's going on. And then C is the consequences of it, death, you know, brain damage and so on. It's B that controls C, not A. Do you get it? Beliefs, values, attitudes, not A. And they're all out there trying to do something about A. Aren't they? Oh, we'll extend the hours and we'll put extra tariffs on alcohol, blah, 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 blah. Now, I don't mind having a raft of policies that will deal with that. But for crying out loud, let's do something about B, beliefs and values. And that's what $200 towards marriage for couples is all about. I happen to believe that if every marriage, a couple that got married in Australia, lived like my mum and dad and Joan's married together for 68 years and was just wonderful and, you know, raised some good kids and so on and so forth and so on and so on. I happen to believe if that happened, we wouldn't even be talking about alcohol-related violence, would we? Our kids would grow up in a loving, caring, disciplined, firm family, you know, under God as well. Now, that's got... Actually, it does have something to do with the message. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind as it flows through, in fact, to your heart. Transform, of course, is metamorphosis. And at home, we have these beautiful mandevillas out the front in two big pots. And the black crow butterflies just love them. And I've got to go around all the time because I see chrysalises hanging off the branches and these lovely big grubs going flat out. And, you know, this is metamorphosis. You wonder how... And then, of course, some of us might be experiencing this at the moment. You go out to take your bin out. What do you notice? Just got to be careful where you put your hand sometimes. There's these little white things moving with great momentum. Some of you, of course, you know. And this is metamorphosis. A grub goes through metamorphosis and finishes up being a beautiful butterfly. This is what God does with us. And, of course, this is the best one of all, which I've showed you before. I keep this in my drawer. Who knows what this is? Those of you who've seen it before, this is my graphite. And it's in my drawer because sometimes the keys get stuck and the padlocks, so we have to put a bit of graphite because it's a lubricant and it's soft and so on and so forth. C12 carbon it is. Yeah, if I put it on my hands now, it'll be all over everything, my papers and everything, so I'm not going to do it today. I've done it with youth on a Sunday night, gone around and put marks all over them. Black. Carbon, black, charcoal, coal, all that stuff. But under enormous temperature and pressure, it becomes the hardest, most precious, most beautiful thing on earth. Most of you girls have got one. Hold them up. Diamond. Hasn't he got the most extraordinary sense of humour? And you know what? The scientists still can't understand it. They still can't work it out. Hello? Yeah, metamorphosis. But that is what God takes something black and yucky and ugly, namely us, filled with sin, and turns us into something beautiful. So don't conform to the pattern of this world, let your mind be transformed. And understand this, so that you get the love that surpasses knowledge here and here, so it affects your whole being. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. See, he's talking about serving. He's talking about latero, serving as worship. That's what he's talking about. Serving as an act of worship. That's what he's talking about. Now, the message says this. It says, I love this, you know. I know the message strays a bit here and there, you know what I mean? But I don't mind, as long as I can grab the good bits. It says, readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its own level of immaturity. I could really get launched there. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Again, the context is in serving. We have in Australia now a thing called offence syndrome. You see, because what happens is that guy on marriage was very lovely and very gracious, and he's saying, talking about, you know, we don't want to offend people, we don't want to upset people, we don't want to make people feel guilty, but there's something about marriage, the way God intended, that builds a strong community. See? Do you know, I don't know whether I mentioned this, but I was in Bunnings, and there was a lady, a staff member, I was in the trade counter with my son Matthew. I may have mentioned this, but I'll tell you again. And this lady was saying, oh, I don't know what's wrong with the world today. And I said, I think one of the biggest problems we face in Australia is parenting. Get the parenting right and the rest of it will be okay. And then I said, if every child was raised in a loving, caring, disciplined, firm family with a mother and a father, most of our problems would be solved. And she said, yeah, I agree with that. And then one of the other staff members beside arced up. Whoa, she let me have it, all barrels. It was like... Whoa! So Matthew and I grabbed our dockets and got out of there. Now, I've named that offence syndrome. And it's what's destroying our nation. Because here, Paul, in the message, talks about immaturity. And I believe the so-called... You've heard liberal progressivism, have you? It's actually regressive. It's actually dumbing down. We're going backwards, Father, not forwards, folks. Actually, that's what's happening. You want to know why there are kids out on the street, alcohol-fueled abuse? Because the lefties, sorry, if there's anyone here who's a lefty, I'll pray for you, for deliverance. Because all those people are busy out there. Look at this, for example. Think about this for a moment. Yesterday, running out of time. But yesterday, there's all these people out there on the beaches trying to save sharks in the waters of the ocean. The same group are quite happy to kill babies in the waters of the womb, for crying out loud. Not only that, and I'll tell you something else, not only that, the man who founded the Australian Greens Party wrote a book with another fellow, and in that book he advocated, listen to this, postnatal euthanasia. In other words, if there's a baby that's deformed or something, let's just terminate it. This is the group that wants to save sharks. Give me strength. What did he say here? Dragging you down to a level of immaturity. For crying out loud, isn't that what's happening in our nation? Let me get back to the scripture. The context is serving. The love of Christ compels us all the more because we see the day approaching, folks. We as a nation have to stand up. I don't know whether I should mention this, but my wife has gone on the ABC and she's made a few comments. And the vitriol, you've got no idea. She's been getting vitriol poured back at her. Unbelievable. I mean, what's happening? We've got to stand up for Jesus. Amen. We've got to nail our cross. We've got to stand up and we've got to say, end this rubbish. End offence syndrome. End this immaturity that they call progressive. It's the opposite. And let's get on with the business of building the kingdom. Latreo, will do it, because that will push us towards serving him. And then he says, For by the grace given me, I say to all of you, hello. Who's that? All of you. Not the pastors, not the elders, not the people in the front row, but everyone. I say to all of you, every one of you, Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Again, the context is reasonable service, true and proper worship. In other words, Paul's saying, find your niche. Find the right place that I have for you within the body. I was thinking about this in relation to basketball because I thought I can have a bit of fun with this. It's kind of a metaphor. Basketball, isn't it? It's a very poor metaphor, by the way, because basketball requires a certain physical attribute as a starting point, correct? Imagine if you met a young guy of 25, he's fully grown, he's 5'2", and you say to him, what do you want to do in your life? And he says, oh, I want to get a contract to play in the NBL in America. You'd be thinking, what am I going to say now? 5'2". How many of you know that, you know, there is a physical attribute required? But in rugby league, however, it's a much better illustration of how you find your place. The big guys are in the forward pack, right? Usually. And then the lightweight, nimble-footed guys are in the back line, right? And that's the place they should be. As I've said before, if a 65-year-old guy comes along and says, I should be in the front row because it's the front row. I want to get in the front row, you know. 65 kilograms, first scrum packs down and he is absolutely smashed. Utterly smashed. Finishes up off the field of play, never to return. And sometimes we do this in church. People finish up in the wrong place. So what Paul is saying, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. If you're not a front row, don't think you should be. But you may be the winger who, right on full time, 1 minute before, goes down the line, scores the try and wins the game, you see. This is not thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought, because the love of Christ should compel us to latreo, to serve and worship him through the act of service, the love that surpasses knowledge from here to here. And then he says, for just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so we in Christ, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. That's amazing. I belong to you. Pastor Jane belongs to you. Pastor Scott belongs. Pastor David belongs to you. And you belong to me. You're mine. Oh yes, you're mine. See, we belong to each other. And the love of Christ compels us. That love that surpasses understanding should compel all of you to desire to be part of that unit, part of that body, part of what the Holy Spirit does in the body. And if any part is crippled or not functioning properly, then the whole body is affected. You know, the doctor said to me after he chopped out this little basal carcinoma, he said, what are you doing over the next few days? He said, and I was about to speak, and he said, nothing, right? Don't lift anything, don't do anything. Trouble is, it's not hurting. And I keep forgetting. And I've been lifting, shoving, doing bits and pieces. So, Dr. Ken, close your ears and look the other way. But, you know, it's fine. I'm sure it'll be okay. But, theoretically, for the next 10 days, he said, can you believe this? For the next 10 days, I'm supposed to be crippled because, oops. This arm is not supposed to do anything. I know we have used Hebrews 10, 24, 25 several times. And I love the way Scotty put up the spurs last week, because, you know, spurring each other on does hurt. And maybe some of you need a few more hurts from, you know, your life group leader to spur you on a bit. But he says, let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And the message has it like this. So let's do it. Full of belief, confident that we're presentable inside and out, let's keep a firm grip on the promises that he keeps giving us. He always keeps his word. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraged love and helping others, not avoiding worshipping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we say, but see the big day approaching. The word thereby is for worship, there's another word. It's epistagoge. Epistagoge, which from what we heard the word episcopal, right? And it means the gathering together of the community of faith, not just for worship, but for proscunio, but for latreo, which is the ministry of serving, your reasonable act of service. And so we are called to be connected, and not just for 1 hour on Sunday, but to serve the purposes of God. And many, many, many people in this house are actually living inside the ministry of latreo, serving the purposes of God. Years ago, a guy wrote a letter to a paper, and he said, "I've been going to church 30 years. I've heard 3,000 sermons, can't remember one of them. So as far as I'm concerned, it was a waste of time, and the preaching was a waste of time, and we might as well give up on it." And there were letters came in to the editor, and then finally this one came. "I've been married for 30 years now. In that time, my wife has cooked 32,000 meals. But for the life of me, I cannot remember the entire menu for a single one of them. I didn't even know what I ate last night, by the way. Probably if I work at it, I could think. But I do know this, they all nourished me and gave me strength I needed to do my work. If my wife had not given me these meals, I'd be physically dead today. Likewise, if I had not gone to church for nourishment, I would be spiritually dead. When you're down to nothing, God is up to something. Faith," this is what I liked in his statement, "faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, receives the impossible. Thank God for physical and spiritual nourishment." We're meant to be part of a body. That's what this passage is all about. The only way you can fulfill your destiny and purpose in life and in God is to be connected to the body of Christ, however it is. And then so Paul gets very, very practical then, and he thus lists all these different charismata, these different gifts. He said, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. Grace there is charis. It's actually the same word. It's just come down 2,000 years through, Latin and so on to be grace, but it's charis. If your gift is in prophesying, prophesy. If it's in serving, serve. If it's in teaching, teach. If it's encouraging, encourage. If it's giving, give. If it's in leadership, do it diligent. And if it's showing mercy, do it cheerfully. We call those the 7 motivational gifts. They're not the same as the 9 supernatural gifts that we find in, 1 Corinthians 12 to 14. There's 3 gifts of revelation, 3 gifts of power, 3 gifts of speech there. And they are genuinely supernatural. Whereas these are natural gifts the Holy Spirit can take hold of and use. For example, I know lots of teachers who are not Christians. I know lots of contributors and givers and benefactors who are not Christians, but the Holy Spirit can take hold of. Now, every one of you here today, without exception, will have in your life one of those gifts as your primary inclination. You see? And then many of you here today are already doing that. You're already involved in doing those kinds of things. And you are serving the purposes of God in the house in that way. Latreo. In a few moments, we're going to recognise people and recognise people who are in leadership in the house and who are serving the purposes of God. But I just want to recognise, as we come to this period, Joan's going to come and introduce that in a moment, but I want to recognise a couple of people who have served the purposes of God in this house for a long time. And I want to recognise today our senior elders, John and Joyce and Paul and Kathy. And they've been with me and Joan and others a long, long time. But I especially today want to recognise Kathy. And Kathy, would you stand up for a minute, please? Kathy has been our pastoral care coordinator for, and this shocked me when I discovered it, over 11 years. On staff, in the office, and hardly be a person here who hasn't been involved in connecting with Kathy through that process over the years. And why would she do it? Because the love of Christ compels her. See, that's why. And because she knows that love that surpasses knowledge. And because she loves all you mob, though sometimes... Sorry, careful Bruce. And she's been using those gifts in that office there on a Monday, and probably she used all of them. I'm sure that she's prophesied and prayed for people and so on and so forth. And tomorrow's her last day because she's reached that age, that day. This week, on the 7th, I think it is that correct? And so we just want to honour her today. She'll still be around. Paul and Kathy will still be around, still caring, because I'll tell you something. She's retiring from the job. But I know this for certain. Absolute. Oh, is this true? Your heart isn't retiring? You know, I just love it when people, you know, may retire from a job, but the heart keeps on pumping, because the love of Christ compels her and compels us, and Paul too, and they'll be still working. And John and Joyce, where are they? Stand up, you two, sitting in the back row. You haven't retired either. Now, John and Joyce have been with us from day one, and you may not realise this, but they have been doing the prayer chain for over, I think, probably 23, 24 years, as near as I can work out. Isn't that extraordinary? And many of you have had those phone calls. Have you presented your phone bill yet? But faithfulness, I just honour you too. It's been so wonderful. And again, you see, it's the love that surpasses knowledge. And it's the love of Christ that compels us, Paul said. See? And then to cap all that off, if I can just say this, this week, there's Paul and John around in, listen for this, Paul, the men den. Whoa, the men den. There they are around there in the back there in the men den, plastering and painting. Because I was reliably informed that when we get that up and going, we're going to have the best coffee, bloke coffee, in Logan City. And if you don't keep to that, mate, I'm going to break your legs. No, moving right on. Now, why do people do this? Because the love of Christ compels us. That's why. And it's not this knowledge here. It's the love that surpasses knowledge. That's what does it. And I'll talk more about that next week. I'm going to ask Joan to come now and just share with all our leadership team, so that we can pray for you and your ministry and so on.
We have an amazing number of people who are just so involved in ministry and mission in this church. It is truly incredible. What we want to do this morning is to bring out coordinators of ministries, as well as after that we'll bring out our elders and the board. And we just really want to bless them and ask the anointing of the Lord to be on them this year in 2014. Right, everyone? I can't say enough about everyone who does whatever job it is. You're truly incredible. We have... Pastor Davis, Samara Biggs, who are heading up Kids Church. Please come out, you guys. You're leading off. Do you know we have 14 children in creche? We have 54 Calvary kids this year. That's pretty great, isn't it? That's growing. Youth, Lisa Henderson, coordinating youth. Young adults, Scott Short. Seniors, Calvary Eagles, Shirley and Brian Deese. I coordinate the women's ministry, Paul Illich for the men's ministry. Thanks, Paul. Worship, Colin Elvery. Would you come out, Colin? And life groups, I want to thank Anne and Mike Smith for the mighty work that they've done for so many years. Brilliant. And invite out Josh and Natalie Shingles, who are taking on this ministry this year. Craft, Elizabeth Schultz. Mops, Susie Short. Mops Next, Hayley Elvery. Marriage, Dudley and Sylvia Stringer. Missions, Ken and Crystal Wilkie. Connections Ministry, Peter Wright. Calvary for Others, Louise Elvery. Pastoral Care, Kathy Illich. You're still it for another day, girl. Sunday Service Support. You know, Hannah has done all the coordinating of rosters for all the support system for services for so many years. She's been amazing. Loved Again Shop, Shirley Deese. And also Hannah's standing out too on behalf of office staff, which is a wonderful ministry, all those in the office. I'd also, prayer ministry. John and Joyce have taken this on. And huge thanks to Noel and Robin, who did it so ably for many years. They've been brilliant. We just like to include in this prayer too a representative of healing rooms, if someone can come out, because we just love to bless that as well. And also hospital and school chaplaincy, if you could come out too. And Smith, if you're here, that would be lovely. While these are not ministries actually within our church, we just felt we really want to pray for them and bless them in their ministry. Now, let's just give all these people a hand, because they do a huge job heading up these ministries. I'd like to ask the elders to come out now and the board of directors. Would you come forward, please? I know some of them are already out here. Quite a lot, actually. And would you lay hands on all these elders? Would you lay hands on all these people, please? Because we really want to pray for them. If you could, take a step forward. Maybe you lay hands on each other as well. Now, as well as that, there are all the people who are involved. And I'd say just about everyone sitting here in this church is involved in some kind of ministry for this house, whether it's gardening, maintenance, life group leaders. There's so many things. Cooking, catering. I'll get you to do that one.
And, of course, we're talking about the house today, which is Jerusalem, but we do have ministries in Judea. Out you come, Lester. Get him out. And then we have people going to the ends of the earth, as Marion is going today, and Keith and Annette and others, India and so on and so forth. So I just want to emphasise that there are people ministering outside. And Dion, for example, ministers in, I suppose you'd say, Judea, really. It's not Jerusalem, which is here, but it's in Judea. So there are all sorts of people who are involved in the trio serving the purposes of God through that as an act of serving and worship.
So let's just stretch out our hands. Lord, we thank you for everyone in this house who serves. Bless those, Lord, who are in ministry, who are in mission, who serve with their whole hearts, Lord, whatever they do. Lord, whatever we do in your name, it's for you. We do out of love for you, Lord. We do it because we love you, because it makes a difference, Lord, because it's important. Whatever it is important to you, Lord. So, Father, I ask you a blessing on each one in this house this morning, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to anoint them, ask you, Lord, to raise them up to a new place in you, to new levels in you, to go higher in you, to draw closer to you, to be more intimate with you, Lord. Because out of relationship with you, the doing just follows, Lord. So, Father, we pray blessing on each one now in the name of Jesus. And all the people said, Amen.